and BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right up to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 game slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit of up to $250. That means if you put in $250, they're going to give you $125 absolutely free using that code BELIEV. So do that. Bet online. The game starts here. Oh, I didn't change that. All right. So welcome back to Ref the District, episode number 180. Again, make sure you hit that like button if you're not a subscriber. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We appreciate everybody who's here. The game section of episode number 180 is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. I've got Don't Sleep Energy right here. They're a fantastic DMV company. If you're on the go and you need a quick hit, this is a great drink. This is sugar-free. They also have regular. And they even have these great, on the other side, they have these great shots of Don't Sleep Energy. So make sure you check them out. Again, they're a local company. They're a small company, and we love working with them. So head on over to don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the code DISTRICT, as in Ref the District. Use the code DISTRICT to get 10% off anything that you order online with Don't Sleep Energy. We love those folks. Make sure you support a local DMV company. So without further ado, let's talk about breakout stars. We're going to bring in our guest, Street Scores Rico. Come on in. Here we go. Let me get the graphics all set. What's up, Rico? How you doing, brother?
Yes, sir. What's good? I'm good. I'm happy to talk some football.
Yeah, we appreciate you popping in here with us here on Ref the District. Again, I'm Stoner. Trev and Nathan are off tonight, so it's just you and I to have a back and forth, and we're going to talk about breakout stars, before we get into all that, Rico, I think pretty much everybody who is in here watching right now live with us, they know who you are, because they have already said love Rico and love his content. But tell us a little bit about your content, your channel, and what you got going on.
Yes, sir. So, I'm really a GM at heart. So when it comes to like free agency draft, that's like the part that I'm always most passionate about. I'll do the film sessions, the all 22. I mean, of course I love the games, but I mean, this offseason was a dream case scenario for me. Hey, how you doing, Brian? Dream case scenario for me. It couldn't have been any better. Now, sadly, hopefully we don't have to go through something like that again with all of the front office and coaching changes. You know, if everything's going well, we don't have to. But for me, this offseason couldn't have been any better. So that's really what my content is based around. Team build, any hires. I know a lot of people think I'm weird, but I did like a whole 40-minute breakdown on Eugene Shin getting hired. So I just love all of that stuff.
Did you have to do a 40-minute breakdown on him leaving the organization as well?
People pulled up ready to say what happened to your boy as soon as we moved from him. But I'm not going to lie. I love Brandon Sosnuff. If I had to choose between the two, it would be Brandon. I was just hoping we could find a way, you know, to move Eugene Shin to another role for the Commanders. Apparently, he's supposed to do something still for David Blitzer and Josh Harris on, like, the hockey and basketball side. But wish we could have somehow found a way to keep him around, because I just really think he's a smart guy, just based on his resume and things. And then, like, the conferences, I watch his conferences and things like that. But I'm happy with the result that we have right now. I'm excited.
Okay, so putting the Jaden Daniels pick aside, right, what was your favorite hire / signing / draft pick? You have to include Adam Peters. You have to include a draft pick. You have to include Eckler or whatever. You can only pick one. What was your biggest your favorite move?
Favorite move? Favorite move. I may have to go Adam Peters, even though I think Brandon Sosna is like a big trailblazing move that we're going to look back years from now and be like, how do we get him? But I'm going to have to start with Adam Peters because we probably don't even get Brandon Sosna without Adam Peters. We maybe don't draft Jaden Daniels without Adam Peters. A lot of the people that we brought in, Lance Newmark, even Dan Quinn as a head coach. Just even being able to bring in Anthony Lynn as a run game coordinator to take him from the 49ers. He's not even getting a promotion. He's going from coaching Christian McCaffrey and having the best run game in the NFL to come here to do the same exact thing. I think a lot of that is just Adam Peters' reputation and his name holding weight, and everybody wants to be a part of what we're doing. The free agency class that we had, we signed the most free agents, but we didn't even spend the most free agency money. So you can argue we were the most efficient. And a lot of that, the facilities are basically, Josh Harris is trying to change it, but the facilities are basically the same. A lot of that is more so the Adam Peters effect more than anything else.
Anthony Lynn, you brought up, was a very underrated signing. You know, this is a former head coach, a former offensive coordinator, and now he's the running backs coach here in Washington because, like you said, because he wanted to. He left a great situation to come to an unknown situation because he wanted to. So I think that's a big move that we're kind of underselling here in Washington.
It is. Can we blame anybody? Because we've done so many great moves. It's just kind of like it's hard to really focus on every little move that we've made and keep up with everything and really like be amazed. Because everything, especially like the Anthony Lynn sign and hiring, was kind of like back to back with other news. If we were to just hire Anthony Lynn today, I feel like it would have gotten a lot more attention. But it was a very hectic free off season, but in a great way though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And we didn't break the bank, like you said, with these $100 million free agents, that are just looking to get paid. So yeah, I think it was an excellent offseason, but I think there's some work to do here in Washington. I got one more question before we get to the breakout stars. This seems to be pretty common here in Washington, but like you're a Commanders fan, but I don't think you're a Wizards fan. I don't think you're a Nats fan. You know what I mean? You're a Georgia guy. All you can do is hype up University of Georgia and, oh, here we go. We got to get some Georgia swag out, right? But how does that happen? Because like Nathan, one of the co-hosts, Nathan is a Commanders fan, but he's an OKC Thunder basketball fan. And Trev, one of the other hosts, he's a Commanders fan, but he's a Lakers and Bulls fan, right? How does that happen around here that you can be a fan of one team in the area and not of the other? Because I'm a Wiz, I'm Caps, I'm all DC all the time. How does Rico go from being just a Commanders fan in this area and not fan of the other teams?
Mine is probably a more complicated, different story from a lot of people, but I was born in Maryland, but also my mom and like a lot of my family, even though, you know, people from DMV, I guess, you know, people are like half Commanders, half Cowboys. So I have some Cowboys in my family, but like, especially my mom's generation are straight burgundy and gold. So I feel like no matter where I was born, I probably would have just followed my mom to what she was a fan of anyway, even if I was born in Atlanta. But I was born in Maryland. I was in PG County, Mitchellville, Bowie, all of that type of stuff for a little bit. Then I moved to Atlanta. And I mean, so I guess because of my family, even though I didn't know what was going on, I was just like, I'm a burgundy and gold fan. My mom has me in pictures at 2 years old with a jersey that's too big for me and then the little face paint and things like that. So, and so then by the time I got to Atlanta and then once I got of age to actually know what's going on, like what's a first down, what's an unnecessary roughness, I was already here. So yeah. I had Georgia to look at. And then I'm pretty much Georgia and Atlanta for really pretty much every other sport, even though I'm not as passionate outside of football as much. But typically like basketball, I just attach myself to like the best Atlanta player in the league. So right now it's Anthony Edwards. Football is the only one where it's like these are my two teams. No matter if we go winless, I'm Georgia and I'm Commanders. But everything else is kind of like, I'll tune in here and there.
Washington have any Bulldogs on the team right now?
Are there? I wish. No, I mean, none, huh? Jake Fromm's gone.
That's right, Fromm.
Yeah, I think Eli Wolf was there for a second, and I think before then it was Thomas Davis. Maybe before then it was Bakari Rambo. But I mean, do have Marcus Rosemi-Jack Saint, but you know, he's hurt. He had the hamstring situation that we're, you know, trying to get him back from. But that's really it. Because Commanders, as a Georgia Bulldog fan that's wanted the Commanders to draft Georgia Bulldogs for years, I've noticed how many Oklahoma guys we get. Mm. I've noticed how many Alabama guys we have, especially on the defensive line, or even Cam Sims. So, you know, I'm waiting. Hopefully next draft will be the time.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about who the potential breakout stars are for Washington. And again, we're joined here by Rico from Street Scores. If you haven't checked him out, make sure you sub up to his channel on YouTube and hit all his socials as well. But let's talk about potential breakout stars. And I got a picture of Jaden Daniels in here just because, you know, Jaden Daniels sells tickets, right? So, but let's take him out of the equation, right? Because everyone is going to say he's the biggest potential. Offensively, there are some guys who have the potential to be breakout stars. First, you have, I believe it was Pro Football Network, said Brian Robinson is the potential breakout star for Washington. And then you have Jahan Dotson, who really, to his standard, said he had a down year last year, even though his numbers were up. So you have a Jahan Dotson as a potential breakout star. You have, you know, some rookies in there like Luke McCaffrey, or even Ben Sinnott, guys like that. Cole Turner could be one of those guys. Who offensively do you look at and say, this guy, I believe, is going to be a breakout star offensively for the Commanders?
Well, just like an honorable mention, even though Terry McLaurin is very well known, I mean, people are rating him outside of the top 15 receivers right now. I think Jaden Daniels being here, a quality offense, I think he's going to, you know, actually put up the numbers to where people start to respect them more. So I think he'll become like a breakout outside of our fan base. I think more people will finally know his name, you know, want to take him sooner in fantasy drafts and things like that. He'll have a higher rating than Madden and things like that. But my true breakout star for the Commanders, it has to be easily for me, Samuel Cosmi. I think he's our closest all pro. I felt like he was, especially the second half of last season, I felt like he was literally the best player on the team, regardless of position, side of the ball. I really feel like Samuel Cosmi, but it's kind of like the reason London Fletcher is still not in the Hall of Fame and things like that. When you're not on the team, even though he did win outside of the Commanders, but when he was on the Commanders, since we didn't win, a lot of these guys don't get recognized. And I feel like Samuel Cosmi, if we win 8 games last year, makes a Pro Bowl. I just feel like it's so much about it is popularity. And I think Samuel Cosmi has been playing at a really high level. I think this year is really the chance once we, even if we don't win a lot of games, if we just have more national media attention just because we have a star quarterback, that, you know, that's what really runs the league. I think he'll get enough attention to where people at least recognize him to a Pro Bowl level.
All right. I like that. I like going to the offensive line, the big uglies up front there. They're going to be a breakout. Let's go to kind of skill position. Okay, let's talk about tight end, running back, wide receiver, and who do you like could possibly, you know, just go to that next level. And I know you talked about Terry going to that next level, or at least getting nationally known. But who makes a big step? Is it a rookie or is it a Jahan Dotson? Does Diami make this team and start making an impact on this team? Who do you like in the skill positions?
If I had to pick a rookie, I think Ben Sinnott is just so versatile. And it may not be immediately week one. It may not be by week five. But I think at some point in this season, people are going to truly start to like notice that this guy is everywhere. Like, is he in the back? I mean, if you look at his college tape, he's like in shotgun, he's like back there as like the running back sometimes. He's inline tight end. He's a big slot. Like, you can use him in so many different ways. Of course, I see a comment, somebody saying Armani Rogers would be my pick. Like, that's who I hope is the breakout star. But if I had to pick safely, I think Ben Sinnott would be the guy. I think he's Cliff Kingsbury. I feel like he's going to get so creative with him. I mean, you see on his tape, even like being the lead blocker, he took out an edge rusher one time and then took out, I think it was a linebacker or the DB. The quarterback went untouched on a quarterback run because of Ben Sinnott. I think he's just going to be such an important piece to this offense. I can't wait to see him go out there.
With some of the guys that this organization has brought in, and when we talk about the tight end room, right? You lose Logan Thomas, but you bring in a Zach Ertz, and then you draft a Ben Sinnott. So you've got a couple of guys who are also leftovers. Like, everybody's forgetting about Bates, right? John Bates is still on this team. And, of course, Armani Rogers and maybe even Hodges is still around on this team. I can't even remember. But that's going to be a position that is going to be tough to sort of break into playing time. Because if Zach Ertz is healthy, he's getting a lot of playing time. And you just talked all about the qualities of Ben Sinnott and what he can do in that position. And we talked about how we like Armani Rogers. And again, you can't forget about Bates, right? So who do you sort of see emerging, assuming everybody stays healthy? Let's say Zach Ertz stays healthy. That's a big if. But who do you sort of like kind of breaking out into being the guy other than Zach Ertz and Ben? Let's give it, Benson is obviously going to make the team. Who are the other guys that are maybe even looking on the outside when the 53-man roster is announced?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Armani Rogers. I truly believe in his
ceiling. We are on this channel too, yeah.
I mean, you just can't teach that athleticism. You can't, there's nothing, you can't teach his speed, his change of direction. I mean, he's still fairly raw. But we did see in 2022, you know, before he got hurt in early 2023, he started to show that he improved as a blocker. I mean, he wasn't a great blocker, but he was showing improvement. You know, he started to work on his route running. You saw Scott Turner even give him the ball out of the backfield and just basically let him use his athleticism sometimes. Sometimes you don't even overthink it. Just let him be an athlete. And I think you can't let a guy like that walk out of the building no matter what. This tight end group, I didn't realize it until I thought about it like a month ago. Like, we're going to end up losing at least one or two tight ends that another team is going to want to come in and scoop up immediately. Unless we like protect them on the practice squad, like a Cole Turner is a contested catch master. He may not be everybody's cup of tea because maybe not every quarterback wants to throw it in a contested catch situations. But the quarterbacks that do would love Cole Turner. He would put up amazing numbers in the offense for a quarterback that wants that. But he may be on the outside looking in. We're already seeing Colson Yonkoff, the undrafted free agent. I've been hearing his name come up a lot in practice, even for like deep shots down the field and things like that. And he's basically coming in as like a fullback type, kind of like a Ben Sinnott versatile guy. But I mean, I don't necessarily see him making the team either. So we went from not enough tight ends to, I mean, we're going to end up cutting somebody really well in one offseason, which just goes to the point of what Adam Peters has put together for this team. Now, of course, a lot of this, to your point, hinges on can Zach Ertz actually stay healthy. But I love the talent in the tight end room. Because John Bates, I mean, we don't usually talk about him because he's not the exciting guy in the tight end room, but he's arguably the best blocking tight end in the NFL, and that has his use.
Yeah, we talk about John Bates on this channel. We say he's basically a tackle in a tight end number, you know, because exactly. That's where his skills really are, is in blocking. And you know, I didn't like when they were throwing tight end screens to John Bates, and you know, back when Scott Turner was doing that, and it drove us crazy. But he does have a place on this team if they want to run the ball more than what they did last year, which I'm sure they're going to run the ball a lot more than they did last year. All right, let's talk about wide receivers and what you think of who I think of everybody on offense, and we haven't even talked about him one time yet, but who's my guy for a breakout star. I think Luke McCaffrey's the real deal. I love what he brings in terms of what something you've talked about a lot is athleticism. Armani Rogers has the athleticism, and guys like that, and Ben Sinnott. This guy's freaky athletic and hasn't been playing wide receiver for very long, and yet he still got drafted within the top 100 in the NFL. I think he's a guy who could take over wide receiver 3 before we go into game 1. What do you think of Luke McCaffrey? Am I kind of overselling him a little bit?
I mean, actually, maybe you undersell. I'm very high on him as well, because we're already seeing in practices so far, I think it was mandatory mini camps where he was working with Anthony Lynn practicing, like, you know, taking handoffs. Maybe he's going to fill into like that. Will we have a void in the Curtis Samuel role because he just left, or what Anthony Lynn had in San Francisco with Deebo Samuel, or even his brother Christian McCaffrey. And after we drafted him, after I saw his testing numbers, because I wasn't I'm not even gonna sit here and lie and act like I super knew who Luke McCaffrey was before we drafted him. Sure. But after we did, I saw his athletic testing, and I went to the RAS, and I went to the raw athletic score system, and I was like, how does he compare to his brother? And I put them at wide receiver, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. He's a wide receiver. Christian McCaffrey's a running back. But then I switched it to running back, and he had the higher score there as well. So I mean, the ceiling is there, the athleticism is there. It's just, can we get creative? How soon will he be ready? Because I mean, there's a big jump going from, to your point, not only going from the college to the NFL, but switching to receiver relatively recently. You know, we can't necessarily expect him to go out there and be a baller week one. But I truly believe that we found a really good receiver here, that he's gonna get a second contract here. He's gonna be a headache for the defenses to deal with, especially with, again, him potentially moving into the Curtis Samuel role. I'm very excited about Luke McCaffrey. I'm right with you.
Yeah, I think we kind of underappreciate when a guy sort of moves from the quarterback position to a skill position and what that brings to his team, because he can think like a quarterback. And that's why we see quarterbacks are able to become a different player at a different position. The Logan Thomases of the world, you know, guys who were quarterbacks in college, but they're able to, athleticism obviously is the biggest reason, but they think like a quarterback. And so they understand route concepts and they understand how to get open in certain zones and all that. And I think that's what McCaffrey will bring to the Commanders, is just his knowledge of being a quarterback and what he can do to help out Jaden Daniels as well when he's in the game.
Completely agree. I mean, even just little things like body motion and body language, like, you know, before you go into your breaks, you know, this, I'm about to be open. And it's like so many nuanced things that I'm not even that well knowledged on, that, you know, he could definitely hit, that he could be a huge help to Jaden. And I love the fact that him and Jaden Daniels are getting to the practice before everybody else by at least 30 minutes. I love that. Right. People are saying, you know, that I'm pointing out the fact that, like, that's what CJ Stroud and Tank Dell were doing last year around this time. Not saying that that's literally the season that they're going to have, but that's the type of work ethic and passion and drive that they have right now. I'm loving it.
Yeah, we talked about that in our opening segment in our warm-up. We talked about the photo of those guys out in Oregon, the Daniels and Mariota and B-Rob and all those guys. And it happens every year, and it happens with pretty much every team, right? Last year, Sam Howell did it with him and Brissett and Terry and John and all them. And you see it didn't necessarily create success, but it has the potential to do that. So you really like to see when guys are getting together off season, and to your point, guys are getting together before practice, first ones in there and going through playbooks and things like that. It's not necessarily going to lead directly to a win or more wins or anything, but it can't hurt. I can tell you that. It can't hurt. All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. Let's go to the defense, where, look, last year this defense was horrific. Unbelievable that it was so bad, and some of the defensive statistics, measurables, when you looked at it, and you were like, how can it be? Denver gave up 70 points in a game, and they were not even the worst defense in the league. Washington was. So who do you think could be a potential? I'll give you two, but let's start with one. Who do you think is your number one breakout star? And star is kind of a loose term. I'm not meaning that they're going to be all pro or anything like that, but a guy who's just going to take that leap and say, okay, we're solid at that position for the next 3 or 4 years with that guy. Who's your first guy in defense?
I gotta go to Jeremy Chinn. Just another freak athlete, and I feel like the system, because he was just kind of like in no man's land with Carolina. Once they switched to their different defensive coordinator, from when he was the rookie, he was the, you know, defensive rookie of the year backup to Chase Young, and then they switched defensive coordinators, and that defensive coordinator just, I mean, I don't want to call him lazy, but he just didn't like utilizing a big nickel, a buffalo nickel, or what I prefer to call it, a star position, like the hybrid safety linebacker type of guy. He just didn't like that. He was just more traditional. I like linebackers, I like defensive linemen, I like corners, I like safeties. That's it. No in-betweeners. So Jeremy Chinn was just kind of just out there running around with no real sense of direction. And I feel like he's going to come here with Dan Quinn's track record, with the Cam Chancellors, with the J-Ron curses and things like that. If anybody knows how to utilize and get the most out of a big safety type of guy, it's going to be this defensive system. I think Jeremy Chinn, elite athlete too. I mean, far better athlete than J-Ron Curse ever could have been in Dallas. I think the ceiling is just so high. I think that would easily be my breakout star. He's one of my favorite, arguably my favorite free agency signing, just because I think he's going to be so great at what they ask him to do. He's going to make plays. He's going to cause turnovers. I think he's going to give offensive coordinators headaches trying to figure out how do we game plan around him. I can't wait, because I mean, you can play him in strong safety, star, hybrid safety, linebacker, around the line of scrimmage, sideline to sideline. I'm really excited about him.
It almost seems like that's what this defense is going to be all about, and that is kind of positionless. Like, you're going to have guys like Jeremy Chinn and probably, you know, Frankie Louvu, even Jamin Davis may be a guy who's playing all over the place, not necessarily being in sort of a specific position. Quan Martin, who's been mentioned on here a couple of times as a potential breakout. These guys aren't necessarily just going to be playing the same spot every time. They're going to be moving all around, which is something we haven't seen around here in quite some time. So I like the Jeremy Chinn, but as Locked On Law had here earlier, Locked On says he likes Chinn, but is he going to be here? He's on a one-year contract, right? If he does do what you say and kind of goes to that next level here in Washington, is that somebody you want to put a lot of money into this offseason?
I would hope so, but I'm not very confident in it at all. Because if he has the season that I hope he has, he's probably going to try to go get big market set. He even said it himself. He took less money and didn't go to like to the Steelers, for example, to come here because he feels like this defense will showcase his skill set for him to maximize his contract potential and negotiation leverage the next offseason. So it sounds like this guy, he wants to come in, get paid very little, put his head down, ball out this year, and then go get his money next year. And maybe we will not be able to afford his services beyond that. But and also to add to your point, too, about positionless football, we've seen Joe Witt Jr. really emphasize that, like, stop asking me about 11 starters. It's really like a rotation of 15, 16 guys that, depending on the matchup, depending on, you know, how we feel with certain things, is the base. He didn't say this, but I'm just, you know, just throwing this out there, that like, depending on if the opponent likes to use tight ends as receivers more often, or are they more of like a run, a power run system? Are they, do they have a bunch of quick receivers that, you know, one guy that may get more snaps one week may not, another guy may potentially get more snaps the next week. And I'm really excited about that. Even just like showcasing how much talent we have, I feel like we have a lot of depth, but also for offensive coordinators, they don't exactly know what they're walking into when they're preparing for us.
So what you're saying, if I may paraphrase, what you're saying is we finally got coaches who are going to be able to coach a game plan.
literally.
Yeah, it's been kind of ridiculous, but I agree. When Joe Witt Jr. said that, it was really telling to me that, just like you said, is that, I mean, you could have a game, let's just say one game against a certain team where Jamin Davis plays 85% of the snaps. And then the next game, he plays like 35% of the snaps, not because they don't trust him or not because he had a bad game, but because they're doing something to combat the offense and what they do well. So he's going to put, maybe instead of having Jamin Davis in there, having a Quan Martin play in the position that Jamin was, because Jamin was rushing the quarterback. I like what he's saying, in that we're not going to dictate sort of what the media wants, which is, who are your 11 starters? Who are your 11 backups? But we're going to put out there whatever it takes to put the guys in the best position to make this defense better. Joe Witt Jr., breakout star. I that's kind of cheating, but I think he's going to be a name that's going to, in the next couple of years, that's going to be talked about for some head coaching jobs because of what he does here in Washington.
I agree. Fully agree.
I like him a lot. I thought it was a fantastic choice for Quinn to bring him in to be the defensive coordinator. All right, so you got Jeremy Chinn as one of your breakout stars. Do you have a second?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Quan Martin. And I hate that both of my guys are safeties. Because I would love if like an edge broke out. It would be really nice if we had like a breakout edge rusher, because even though Dan Quinn and Joey Jr. are pretty good at simulating pressure themselves with, you know, getting really creative with blitzing DBs or linebackers, or, you know, leaning the defense towards one side to overload another side, you know, different things like that. But I would love if we just had a true game changing. You got a double team of edge rusher. That would be great. But Quan Martin stepping up into a Cameron Cole like role, I'm very excited. Because it's really interesting too, because Cameron Curl 2 years ago was like the star, the Buffalo nickel hybrid safety linebacker guy. Then he moved into like a strong safety role last year because they wanted to basically keep him healthier. And then he was more so in not in the box as much, more so in coverage. And it seems like Quan Martin's going to do the same thing from last year, going to being around the line of scrimmage more. So now he's going to be further back as well. And I think he's going to step into that role so perfectly. I mean, he had one of the most explosive, I think, broad jumps, or one of the verticals that a safety's ever had at like the combine. He's so explosive. He's so quick. He's basically just the one advantage I would give Cameron Curl over him is that he's longer. So maybe he would be better at covering like bigger receivers, tight ends, and things like that. But I give Quan Martin every other athletic advantage as far as quickness, change of direction, speed, explosion, all of those type of things. So I think his ceiling is higher. We saw once we started to finally give him opportunities towards the second half of last season that, you know, he started to shine. He started to make plays. He catches interceptions. A lot of Commanders players have just not been able to catch the interception. Even when it's right there and it's pretty much a punt drill, they just haven't been able to catch it every time. And Quan Martin caught his. And so I'm very excited about the potential that he's going to bring. I mean, I know we're trying to get away from the word like versatility, because it's kind of like a jack of all trades and a master of none type of thing. But I truly believe that some of these guys are like great at multiple things, not just okay at multiple things. I think Quan Martin is going to be a versatile player. I mean, really, you can play him anywhere but outside corner, in my opinion. And if you pretty much just hold him at strong safety, ask him to get better at that. He trains towards strong safety. When he's doing his all 22 film sessions and in practice, he's like looking at it from the viewpoint of a strong safety. We keep him at one point, but then you maybe move him around every now and then. I think he's going to be excellent in this defense, especially with the help that's around him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got a lot of help now for sure. A couple points on that. One is, what was the term that Ron Rivera used that everybody hated in terms of
positional,
like,
positional flex?
Positional flex. It's a terrible term, Rico, but you know what? It's true.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you were saying. You want a guy to be able to play multiple positions and not be stuck to being, you're an inside linebacker, that's where you're going to play. Well, maybe that guy can do multiple things. So position flex, we got sick of the term because it was Ron Rivera and it wasn't working. But I still think positional flex is super important on any team, but especially on defense.
Keep the offense guessing. I mean, that extra maybe 1 or 2 seconds that the quarterback has to hold on to the ball just off of, I don't know what they're doing on defense. I don't know what coverage they're in. They look like they were in cover 2 pre-snap. Now it looks like they're in cover 3. Quan Martin looked like he was the free safety. Now he's moved down to the box. I mean, all of those calculations that a quarterback has to go through, it has to be like lightning quick. And that extra holding on to the ball for maybe like a second or two, that extra pat of the football that gives Dorrance Armstrong and those guys a chance to get to the quarterback. So, yeah, I completely agree.
All right, another thing is that Allison brings up, you know, do we have a guy that you are okay with at free safety, or is that something that this team's going to have to look at in the offseason?
It's really complicated, because when I pictured this defense after we finished the draft, after free agency was done and everything like that, I was picturing maybe Derek Forrest at free safety. And then maybe Quan Martin is strong safety. Jeremy Chin is your Buffalo nickel. But I saw in practice sometimes with the starting group, you had Jeremy Chin at like strong safety, I believe, and then Quan Martin at free safety. That way, I mean, you got to play Mike Sanders still. He's so talented. He's so instinctual, even though he hasn't been playing this position very long. I mean, he has to play 70% of snaps. So then where do you play the extra guy?
Yeah. It's an embarrassment of riches, almost. I mean, that's getting a little ahead of ourselves, but you do have guys. I mean, we haven't even talked about Sanistrill, right? And he's a guy that's going to play. He's going to play a lot. And we saw in that Commander's log in the draft room how much Quinn loved him, and even Adam Peters loves him, and Joe Witt Jr. just really loved him. So Too bad I was a Michigan guy, though. I wish you. I'm not a Michigan guy, so. But I'm okay with him being on the squad. And another thing that you brought up that I thought was a really important take is that Quan Martin in the preseason looked like he didn't even belong on a college football team. He looked so lost out there.
Yeah.
In training camp and in preseason games. It was like, oh, my God, they whiffed on a second rounder again. Or yeah, he was a second rounder, wasn't he? Or was he a third rounder? I can't remember. But
Second round.
Yeah, he was a second rounder, right? So, oh, man. But by the end of the season, he was out there. He was making plays. He looked like he belonged, which is really what you want from a rookie. Is at worst, look like you belong out there and you know what you're doing, and eventually you'll start to develop and start making plays. And he was making plays by the end of the year. So I like the Quan Martin breakout potential. Last question on the defense, Rico. Is right now, you have to make this decision right now. Is Emmanuel Forbes a bust? Was that a bad pick and just we got to move on?
Under this coaching staff, no. Just simply because, I mean, Deron Bland was drafted in the fifth round. There were reports that Dan Quinn and those guys maybe wanted to even draft Emmanuel Forbes in the first round, and they pretty much settled on Deron Bland in the fifth round because they didn't get Emmanuel Forbes in the first round. He even had a top 30 visit with them and things like that. And I feel like their defensive scheme maximizes Emmanuel Forbes' potential as being like an interception hunter rather than like a cover corner. He's not just going to lock up a receiver per se for like 3 to 5 seconds. That's not necessarily his game. He's going to be more of like a Trevon Diggs role, a Deron Bland. We have proof of product from what Dan Quinn has done with those guys. Joe Wood Jr. have done with those two guys. Trevon Diggs got hurt, so Deron Bland had to step up, set a pick six record in an NFL season. I'm not expecting Emmanuel Forbes to break out like that, but I'm expecting him to be way better than what he was last year. Instead of being asked to cover A.J. Brown all game when Benjamin St. Juice has literally the better build for it. All of us saw it. All of us knew it. I don't know how the Commanders didn't. Maybe they were just secretly tanking. I don't know. But Emmanuel Forbes is a great fit with Dan Quinn because you have the Benjamin St. Juice, you have the Michael Davis to be the cover guys to basically play the Stephon Diggs-like role. I mean Stephon Gilmore-like role. And you have Emmanuel Forbes going around and interception hunting, which is what he did best in college. I mean, in college, even when you look at his tape, when we were very high on him coming out of college, it wasn't necessarily like he was locking up SEC receivers for 3 to 5 seconds every time. It was just he had a nose for the football. And Dan Quinn and Joe Wood Jr. have led the best takeover defense over the last 3 years in the NFL, and that's why they brought over Mike Sabathia. That's why they're probably salivating over Emmanuel Forbes, even though I know a lot of our fan base is sick of Emmanuel Forbes. They're giving up on him, but I'm pretty sure Dan Quinn and Joe Wood Jr. are very excited about what he can be in their defense.
Big Doug from Big Doug and Carmi show. You can check out
his Bulldog fan.
Yeah.
Georgia Bulldog
fan. Yeah, there you go. Now, yeah, you know him well because he's another Bulldog. Yep. He thinks that St. Juice is poised for a breakout year. Do you like St. Juice in terms of being a guy that they can count on with this defensive coaching staff?
It's actually really funny, too, because our entire outside cornerback group, it's like if we could do a time machine and have the 2022 versions of all three of those guys,
yeah,
we have an elite secondary. Michael Davis was looking like a top 10 corner in 2022 in spurts. Even though Pro Football Focus doesn't agree, but I felt like Benjamin St. Juice was better in 2022 than in 2023. And then Emmanuel Forbes, of course, when he was in college and, you know, set it at some sort of interception record. We can get the 2022 version of our outside cornerback group. We're in great hands. But Benjamin St. Juice specifically, I feel like, again, to the Emmanuel Forbes stepping into the Deron Bland role, I think Benjamin St. Juice could step into the Stephon Gilmore role. Now, he's not Stephon Gilmore, but I think having an elite linebacker group in front of him, a potentially a pretty good pass rush in front of him, better than what he's had, is going to help him in a lot of different ways. So I think he definitely can be. I love his talent. He may not be the fastest guy, may not be the quickest guy, but his change of direction and his length. I think Dan Quinn, and to your point, like we have coaches that coach now. I feel like they're going to put him in the right situations, not just sit over there in the island and cover this guy all game. We may switch it up every now and then.
All right, let me ask you the one off-season omission, or maybe I don't want to say mistake. I don't want to make this negative, but what are you looking at that in the Commanders off-season that still concerns you heading into, I mean, training camp is 2 weeks away when the rookies report, somewhere around there, and 3 weeks away from veterans. So what are you concerned about most with this team, with the roster?
Not trading up for Amarius Mims, even though even though to Adam Peters' credit, I believe he said something to like, we tried to trade up for a tackle, but people were asking for way too much. They knew we were desperate, so they were asking for way more because of that. And I appreciate the fact that he stood his ground and did not trade up for that reason. So it's not like a full-blown, I regret this, but we do have a situation at left tackle to where, like, I guess Cornelius Lucas is a pretty decent pass blocker, kind of. Trent Scott's a really mobile run blocker. Like, whenever we want to really do our run package, especially with Jaden Daniels using his legs, and then all the packages of Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson, he would be better as like a run blocker that can get to the second level of pull. Brandon Coleman has the potential to be better than both of those guys at what they're best at, but is he ready by week one? And you just drafted a quarterback second overall. You would love for his blind side to be a little bit. We have a little bit more confidence in that guy. I love the potential of Brandon Coleman. I think he has starting left tackle written all over him. It just may not be as soon as we would like. So that's my biggest concern there. Again, would have loved if we traded up for a tackle, but I'm very happy that Adam Peters realized that people were trying to get more out of him than necessarily was worth. They were probably looking at the value chart and were like, yeah, we could add a few hundred more points into this just because we know they need a left tackle. They took quarterback second overall. Let's ask for more than we normally would. And I love the fact that Adam Peters did not budge on that.
Yeah, I think probably in that moment, you're probably right that he didn't want to get fleeced on any sort of move up option, but he may not be singing a different tune in week, whatever it is, when, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau comes off and makes Cornelius Lucas, you know, look like a child. And then pummels your number two overall pick. And you're sitting there screaming because Daniels is, oh, my shoulder, you know, something like that. And then he's going to say, maybe I should have made those trades and moved up and got a stud left tackle in the draft. But, you know, we're kind of picking at the team right now with everything that we saw. We really liked almost everything that they did. But I'm with you, that left tackle position, I'm very, very concerned about going into the season.
And to your point, I mean, the edge rushers got better in this division. I mean, now we have to deal with Brian Burns. And I don't know what it is about Kayvon Thibodeau where he really doesn't do anything against any other team until he plays us.
Yeah.
Where
his breakout like Daniel Jones, the same thing.
Yeah, literally. It's the Giants. It's literally just the Giants. I don't know what we did to them. I don't know if they put all of their offseason effort into when we play the Commanders, we got to beat them. I don't know what it is, but Kayvon Thibodeau only scares us. Other teams aren't afraid of him, but us as Commanders fans, we have enough PTSD from the Kayvon Thibodeau experience to know that we need to figure out this left tackle situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, Rico, before we get you out of here, let me ask you what your kind of overall realistic expectations are for this team. Not your way high expectations or your way low, but what are your realistic expectations going into, you know, where you expect them to be in January, late January, when the season's over?
I mean, I'm not necessarily expecting a Houston Texans season like CJ Stroud. Yeah. They draft the second overall pick, go to the playoffs, even win a playoff game, win a division and things like that. First of all, I feel like our division is tougher. I feel like the Texans definitely got, with Anthony Richardson getting hurt, you know, a lot of different factors, but I don't want to go on that whole rant. But I feel like our defense being mightily improved. I mean, when you're the worst, you can only go up. So I feel like that's not much of an expert prediction there, but I expect our defense to go from bottom five to maybe even top 15, top 10. I feel like the veteran leadership, I feel like the veteran coaching, the elite coaching that we have. I feel like even a guy like Jason Simmons, who we brought over from the Oakland Raiders to be our defensive passing game coordinator, is going to pay huge dividends for our secondary. His development that he did over there, I feel like that's going to be big time for a lot of our secondary guys. So I just see just every level to every level. Maybe we got less athletic edge rusher wise because you lose Chase Young and Montez Sweat, but I feel like overall defense, we are going to be way better, especially schematically. And I feel like Mike Samberstill is probably going to be the catalyst for our defense being much better. So I see that. And then just overall team wise, And I guess we can throw offense in there. I mean, we only won four games last year. I'm seeing maybe like seven or eight. I feel like we're going to be a highly competitive team that even the games we lose, I feel like it'll be close. I don't feel like it's going to be 35 to 10 games like we had right. in last year. I feel like our games will more than likely be somewhat 24 to 20, 24 to 17 and things like yeah. that. And I see us leaving this season, even if we don't make the playoffs, very optimistic about what the future can be. Like, oh, we started to see Jaden Daniels figure it out towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Samuel Cosmi makes a Pro Bowl. We're like, okay, now, and that will, that's a, I guess, a bridge we got to cross when we get there, but we're going to have to end up paying him. I hope we pay him as soon as possible before he has that breakout year. So we have to pay him more money long term. But I just see like so Jahan Dotson has that bounce back year. Terry McLaurin starts to get more respect around the NFL. I can see us taking a lot of positives from the year, even if we don't make the playoffs. I think 7-8 wins is probably like a really good, safe guess.
I'm right there with you, Rico. I mean, if you go from 4 to 8 wins, you double your win total from the year before with a first-year coach and a first-year GM and all that. That's a massive improvement. We don't need to go to 10, 11 wins to consider the year successful. There'll be some games in there where you'll be super disappointed and you'll be like, I don't know where this team's going. And then you'll have games where you're like, okay, we may have lost that game, but at least we didn't get blown out by Justin Fields and the Bears, you know, on Thursday Night Football. But for me also, I'm right there. I think if they win 7 or 8 games, they double, almost double or double their win total. And at the end of the season, you look at Jaden Daniels, regardless of what his stats are, and you say, that's our quarterback. That's our quarterback for the next 3 to 4 years. You can see everything is there. He just needs to continue to develop and all that. That I consider that a fantastic season, even though it's only, you know, you have another losing record at 8-9 or 7-10. If you know Jaden Daniels is the guy, then I think that's a successful season.
I completely agree. It technically may count as a problem, but you also know you had a successful season when teams are trying to come get maybe like a Brian Johnson, who we gave him like mm-hmm. the incentive to be like the assistant head coach, kind of, even though he's the offensive passing game coordinator, I believe. And, you know, if teams are trying to interview our coaches, trying to take Anthony Lynn from us and things like that, I think that's mm-hmm. also a good measure of how good of a season you had as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree, man. It's been an absolute pleasure, Rico, to have you on the show here on Ref the District. You can check out Rico everywhere, especially on YouTube with all his Commanders content at Street Scores on YouTube, or check him out on Twitter. I still call it Twitter. I don't even know. Oh, it's X now. I still call,
yeah,
it,
I still
Twitter.
Call it Twitter as well.
You can check him out there. I believe it's at Street Scores Rico. Is that right on Twitter?
Street Scores ATL. Yes, sir.
ATL. That's right. Got to get the ATL in there. At Street Scores ATL Rico. Thanks for all the time, the insight. I know a lot of people who are on here were giving great comments in there about your analysis and breakdown. So appreciate you coming on, Rico, and hope to have you on in the future.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Let me know anytime. My schedule is really random, but especially shows like this, I love pulling. I love talking ball. People that know ball. Thank you. Thank you.
And maybe next year, if Jaden Daniels doesn't work out, then Washington can draft Carson Beck, and you'll get your get some Bulldogs on this team finally.
That, I mean, I would love that just for the Georgia, but in every other way that would be terrible, because that means I think he's going to end up being a number one overall pick. We would have to be really bad to do that.
Now, got
I'm very high on Beck, so
okay. Yeah, he looks to be the real deal. Again, thanks, Rico. For everybody else here, stay tuned. When we get to the cool down, we're going to do our mailbag where everybody can jump in and ask their questions. And again, thanks, Rico. Appreciate you, and we'll see you on down the road.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let me know anytime.